بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على الرسول الأعظم الأمين، وعلى آله الطاهرين وصحبه المنتجبين، وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. به شما میهمانان گرامی، سران و هیئت‌های نمایندگی کشورهای جنبش
The heads of delegation and member states of the non-aligned movement, as well as other participants of this great gathering.
ما در اینجا گرد آمده‌ایم.
We are we have gathered here. So through the assistance of Almighty God, with the start of a movement that began 6 decades ago, through the vigilance and wisdom and prudence of a number of political elites who felt responsible, they based the foundation of this movement. And in accordance with the world requirements, we're going to push ahead with this movement, and probably we would be able to blow a new life into that and revitalize it. Our guests come from various geographical areas, from far and nearby, and they are of various nationalities, and they have their own faiths, beliefs, cultures, history, and a wide array. But as Ahmed Sukarno, one of the founders of the non-aligned movement, said in the Bandung conference in 1955, the basis of formation of non-aligned movement is not geographical unity, ethnicity, or faith or religious. It's the unity of requirements. That day, members of the NAM, they talked about an allegiance, a link that would help them get rid of imperialist and arrogant powers who are insatiable. They wanted to protect themselves against them. They were in need of that. Today, with the progress and development of imperialistic apparatus, this need is still there and it's felt. So I want to raise another reality. Islam has taught us that human beings, despite their various religions and cultures, they still have the same nature that calls them for good deeds, sympathy, cooperation. And this shared nature is the reason. If you go through those stages, then you will be led toward God. Well, this fact has such a capacity that is able to be the basis for formation of a free movements and organizations who are seeking justice. And the slogan of spirituality will dominate and penetrate
and create for it a terrestrial paradise in advance of other world heaven promised by divine religions. The same common and universal reality may serve as a foundation for brotherly cooperation among nations which are apparently dissimilar and different in respect of history and geography. Should international cooperation be based on such a foundation, the states will establish their relations not on the basis of fear, threat, greed, unilateral interest, or mediation of treacherous and venal persons, but on wholesome common interests, and over and above that, on interests of humankind, thus relieving their own wakeful conscience and the minds of their people of their qualms and concerns. Order is diametrically opposed to the system of domination upheld, propagandized, and led by hegemonic Western powers during the recent centuries, and today by the aggressor and domineering U.S. government. Dear guests, with its goals of anti-colonialism, political, economic, and cultural independence, non-aligned movement with non-alignment with any power bloc, and furtherance of solidarity and cooperation among the member states, the original ideal of non-aligned movement remains steady and alive after six decades. The world's realities today fall short of those ideals. But a collective resolve and an all-inclusive effort to overcome the harsh realities and reach those ideals, though full of challenges, will be promising and rewarding. In recent past, we have been witness to the political defeats of the Cold War era and the unilateralism that followed in its wake. With the lessons learned from that historical experience, the world is in transition toward a new international order. The non-aligned movement could and should play a new role. This order must be based on equal rights of nations and general participation of all nations. Our solidarity as members of the movement for shaping the new order is a salient need of the present times. Fortunately, the prospect presented by global developments heralds the emergence of a multilateral order in which the traditional power blocs will give way to a group of countries with different economic and social and political origins. The striking events of the last three decades clearly show that the emergence of a new powers is accompanied with the appearance of weakness in the old powers. This gradual power transition gives the non-aligned countries the opportunity to play an effective and worthy role on the world stage and prepare the global ground for an equitable order based on genuine participation. For a long time, we, the member countries of this movement, have been able to preserve our solidarity and bond in the framework of common ideals, despite diverse viewpoints and orientations. This is not a small and paltry achievement. This bond can serve as an asset for transition to a just and human world order. The present world conditions offer the non-aligned movement an opportunity unlikely to be repeated again. Our opinion is that the world's control room should not be managed by dictatorial will of a few Western countries. A global regime for democratic participation in the management of international issues should be devised and ensured. And this is the need. This is a need of all countries which directly or indirectly have suffered to encroachments of certain hegemonic and bullying states and continue to do so. The structure and mechanism of United Nations Security Council is illogical, unjustice, and entirely undemocratic. It is a flagrant form of dictatorship and an antiquated, outdated, defunct relic of the past. It is the misuse of this improper mechanism which enables the United States and its allies to impose their bullying manner on the world in the garb of a dignified concept. They talk of human rights even when what they mean is Western interests. They talk of democracy when what they will have is its place is military intervention in other countries. They talk a war on terror and make defenseless people in villages and towns the target of their weapons and bombs. From their viewpoint, humanity is divided into first, second, and third class citizens. Human life is evaluated as cheap for Asia, Africa, and Latin America, and valued highly in the U.S. and Western Europe. American and European security is important, while the security of the rest of humankind is considered unimportant. Torture and assassination, if committed by an American or Zionist or one of their henchmen, are permissible and totally condonable. Their secret prisons at numerous points on various continents are witness to the most heinous and disgusting treatment of defenseless captives who languish without any defense attorney or trial. And that does make their conscience uneasy. Good and evil are defined in an entirely selective and unilateral way. They obtrude their interests on other nations in the name of international law and impose their own domineering and illegal standpoints in the name of international community with the means of their organized and monopolistic media networks. They project their own lies as truth, their wrong and invalid standpoints as rightful, and their oppressive moves as efforts to seek justice. On the contrary, they brand as lies every true statement that exposes their deceit and label every legitimate demand as roguish. Friends, this flawed and deleterious situation cannot continue. All people are tired of this faulty international configuration. The popular Occupy movement of the 99% in the U.S. against that country's centers of wealth and power and the widespread protests in Western European countries against the economic policies of their government also indicate that this situation has exhausted the patience and tolerance of all nations. This irrational situation has to be corrected. A strong, logical, and inclusive bond among the member countries of the non-aligned movement can make a profound impact on finding the remedy and its application. honored guests. International peace and security are among crucial issues of today's world. An elimination of the catastrophic weapons of mass destruction is an urgent necessity and a universal demand. In today's world, security is a shared and indivisible phenomenon. Those who stockpile anti-human arms in their arsenals have no right to style themselves as the standard bearers of global security. Without doubt, this will not procure security for them. It is most unfortunate to see that countries possessing the largest nuclear arsenals have no serious and genuine intention of removing these deadly arms from their military doctrines, and they go on regarding them as deterrent and an important component in the definition of their political and international position and station. This conception needs to be rejected and discarded in its totality. Nuclear arms neither provide security nor serve as a consolidating means of power, but pose a threat to all. The event of the 1990s showed how the possession of these arms could not save such a regime as that of the former Soviet Union. Also today, we know countries which are facing deadly waves of insecurity despite possessing atomic bombs. The Islamic Republic of Iran regards the use of nuclear, chemical, and other similar weapons as a great and unforgivable sin. We have set forth the thesis of a nuclear-free Middle East, and we are committed to it. This does not, of course, mean foregoing our right to peaceful use of nuclear power and production of nuclear fuel. On the basis of international laws, peaceful use of this energy is a right of every country. All should be able to employ this wholesome source of energy for various vital uses for the benefit of their country and people, without having to depend on others for exercising this right. Some Western countries, themselves possessing nuclear arms and guilty of this illegal action, are inclined to monopolize also the production of nuclear fuel. Surreptitious moves are underway to consolidate a permanent monopoly over production and sale of nuclear fuel in centers carrying an international label, but in fact within the control of few Western countries. A bitter irony of our era is that the U.S. government, which possesses the largest and deadliest stockpiles of nuclear arms and other weapons of mass destruction, and the only country guilty of its use, is today eager to carry the banner of opposition to nuclear proliferation. The U.S. and Western allies have armed the usurper Zionist regime with nuclear weapons and created a major threat for this sensitive region of the world. Yet, the same deceitful gang does not tolerate the peaceful use of nuclear energy by independent countries and even opposes with all its strength the production of nuclear fuel for medical and other peaceful and human purposes. Their false excuse is fear of production of nuclear arms. In the case of the Islamic Republic of Iran, they themselves know that they are lying. But lying is justified in policies devoid of the slightest shred of moral and spiritual values. Will the party who is not ashamed in the 21st century to make threats of nuclear attack ever refrain from lying and be ashamed to speak lies? I emphasize, the Islamic Republic is not after nuclear arms and will never forego the right of its people to peaceful use of nuclear energy. Our motto is nuclear energy for all and nuclear arms for none. We will insist on each of these two precepts, and we know that breaking the monopoly of certain Western countries on production of nuclear energy in the framework of the Non-Proliferation Treaty is in the interest of all independent countries, including the members of the Non-Aligned Movement. The three decades-long experience of successful resistance against the bullying and all-round pressures of America and its allies has enabled the Islamic Republic to reach the firm belief that the united and firmly determined nations resistance can overcome all forms of hostility and malice, opening the proud highway leading to its lofty goals. The multifaceted advancements made by our country in the last two decades are facts for all to see, as repeatedly attested by international observers. All this has happened under sanctions, economic pressures, and propaganda assaults by networks affiliated with the U.S. and the Zionism. The sanctions, which were regarded as paralyzing by nonsensical commentators, not only did not and will not paralyze us, but have made our steps steadier, elevated our resolve, and strengthened our confidence in the correctness of our analysis and the inborn capacities of our nation. Often and frequently, we have visibly seen God's helping hand in the face of these challenges. Honored guests, I think it is necessary to mention a very important issue, which, though related to our region, has dimensions extending far beyond it and which have influenced international politics of the last few decades. That issue is the distressing, tragic issue of Palestine. The gist of this story is that a country that had a clear historical background called Palestine, on the basis of a tragic conspiracy under the direction of Britain in the 1940s, an independent country named Palestine with a clear-cut historical identity was usurped from its people through armed attacks, bloodshed, and deceit, and was handed over to a group of people brought over as immigrants from European countries. This great usurpation, which at the outset was accompanied with massacres of defenseless people in towns and villages and the expulsions from their homes and homeland to bordering countries, has continued for more than six decades with similar crimes and continues to this very day. This is one of the most important issues facing human community. The political and military leaders of the usurper's Zionist regime have not refrained from committing any crime during this period, from massacres, destruction of people's homes and farms, imprisonment and torture of men, women, and even children, to humiliation and violation of the dignity of a nation and the effort to annihilate it and assimilate it within the cannibalistic belly of the Zionist regime, not to mention attacks on the refugee camps in Palestine itself and in neighboring countries where millions of refugees live. Such names as Sabra and Shatila, Ghana and Deir Yassin have been etched in the history of our region with the blood of the oppressed Palestinian people. Even now, after 65 years, the same kind of crimes marks the treatment of Palestinians remaining in the occupied territories by the bloodthirsty Zionist wolves. They perpetrate one fresh crime after another and make the region encounter new crises. Hardly a day passes without reports of murder and mayhem and of imprisonment of Palestinian youths reason to defend their homeland and dignity and to protect against the demolition of their homes and destruction of their orchards. The Zionist regime, which has carried down assassination, war, and mischief for decades, launched disastrous wars and massacres, occupied Arab lands, and engaged in acts of organized state terrorism in the region and other parts of the world, calls on the Palestinian nation terrorists, calls the Palestinian nation terrorists for rising up and struggling to reclaim their rights. And the media networks of the allied with the Zionism and many Western and mercenary media repeat the great lie in violation of ethical values and journalistic commitments. Political leaders who claim to defend human rights unashamedly and indifferently close their eyes on these crimes and assume the role of advocates supporting catastrophic regime. Our standpoint is that Palestine belongs to the Palestinians. The continuation of its occupation is a great, intolerable injustice, in addition to being a major threat to global security and peace. All solutions suggested and followed up by the Westerners and their affiliates for the resolving the problem of Palestine have been wrong-headed and unsuccessful. And so shall they remain in the future. We have suggested a just and entirely democratic solution. All Palestinians, its present residents, whether Muslim, Christian, or Jewish, as well as those who were expelled to other countries preserving their Palestinian identity, will participate in a general referendum held under the watchful and reliable monitors and choose the future structure of the country's political system. All Palestinians who have suffered the ordeal of homelessness for years shall return to their country and take part in the referendum and subsequent drafting of a constitution and elections. Peace will then be established. Here, I wish to give a well-wisher's advice to American politicians who have always stood up to defend and support the Zionist regime till now. This regime has been to this day a cause of countless headaches for you until the present. It has made you unpopular with the region's peoples and presented you as being complicit in the crimes of the Zionist usurpers. The material and moral cost borne by the American government and the people on account of this are staggering. If the present course is followed in the future, your costs will be even greater. Do think and reflect the Islamic Republic's proposal about a referendum and rescue yourselves from this inextricable tangle through a courageous decision. Without doubt, the region's people and the world's free-thinking persons will welcome such a step. Honored guests, now let me return to what I mentioned at the outset. The global historical juncture is the conditions are very sensitive, and the world is passing through a crucial historical juncture. It is anticipated that the new order shall be born from these events. The non-aligned movement, which includes more than two-thirds of the world community, can play a major role in shaping that future. The holding of this major conference in Tehran is itself a significant event to be taken into consideration. By pooling our resources together, resources and capacities together, we, the members of this movement, can create a new historic and lasting role towards rescuing the world from insecurity, war, and hegemony. This goal is possible only through our mutual and all-round cooperation. There is no dearth amongst us of countries which are quite wealthy, as well as those who wield considerable international influence. We have plenty of those. The removal of obstacles is absolutely possible through economic and media cooperation and exchange of experiences conducive to advancement and edification. We should make a firm resolve and remain loyal to the enunciated goals without minding the frowns of the bullying powers, of the cheering up by their smiles. We should believe that we have the backing of God's will and the laws of creation. Let us take a lesson from the failure two decades ago of the experiment of the communist camp, the ongoing political failure of the so-called Western liberal democracies, whose signs are visible to all in the streets of European countries and America, and the inextricable economic problems of these countries. Finally, the downfall of the dictatorships in North America, which were affiliated with the U.S. and were in collaboration with the Zionist regime, and the Islamic awakening throughout the countries of the region are to be regarded as a major opportunity. We may think of upgrading the political efficacy of the non-aligned movement in managing world issues. We can forego a historic document aimed to bring about a change in the management and to provide for its administrative tools. We could design our moves toward an effective economic cooperation and define the pattern of cultural relations among ourselves. The establishment of a dynamic and highly motivated secretariat for this organization, I repeat again, the establishment of a dynamic and highly motivated secretariat for this organization will no doubt offer much effective help for the realization of its goal. Thank you very much.